Welcome to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. This is Becky Friedman, and with me today are Bridget.
Hi.
And Jeremy.
Oh, hello.
Sam Mulvey is not with us, our namesake for the show, but we're here to bring you all kinds of awesome talk and gabbing and opinions about, well, I don't know, the Vatican being all up in our healthcare this week and some other things. But we have to bring you first a little note. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we actually covered a story about Coolidge City in Arizona. And I have a sort of fond little place in my heart for Arizona, especially those little towns in between, you know, outside of Tucson, outside of Phoenix that, well, I think little are the operative word for these towns. But the city of Coolidge actually had a council resolution that wanted to say that we'll do invocations, except only if they're Christian. So thank you to our listener, James B., for shooting us an email about this. The Coolidge City Council decided to reverse course on a resolution that would limit invocations to Christians only. The council voted unanimously to amend a resolution passed last week that would limit pre-meeting invocations to Christian prayers after a national backlash. Councilman Robert Huddleston, who added the original amendment to ban non-Christian prayer, said that they shouldn't be ashamed that history would look at them and say, "This is a city council who stood for Christ and Christ alone." Mayor John Thompson praised the new policy, saying, "Now everyone will have a seat at the table."
Yay. That's not what history was going to say about this city council.
What do you think history was going to say about this?
Was going to say about the city council that they're insane.
Yeah.
Well, I love that. You know, it was due to national backlash, not like it was due to the Supreme Court ruling that said that if you're going to have invocations, you got to have everyone, and you can't have it be exclusively Christian or exclusively one denomination.
Right. Yeah. Has nothing to do with the law, just, you know, personal opinion is the most important, or national opinion is the most important.
I also liked in the original one that the mayor, John Thompson, he said, "Oh man, our lawyers are going to come after us for this. Why are we doing this? Why it's not going to work out well for us anyway."
They're still in fairly weird territory here, because the only people that can say the prayers before the council meetings are going to be representatives of churches within the city limits, which are all Christian churches.
Ah, so this was a nice way of complying with
this
the law.
This is a roundabout way of inviting Satanists to set up a church in a small Arizona town to make a point. Although they probably didn't realize that when they went this way with it.
Right.
So, Jeremy, are you interested in founding a Church of Satan in Coolidge, Arizona?
Another one?
You're not too far out.
I'm not interested
Tucson.
In Arizona as anything more than a thing I fly over occasionally.
Right.
Not a thing I drive through, and certainly not a thing I live in.
Yeah, well,
sorry, anyone from Arizona who's listening to this.
Our listener, James B. So maybe James can set up his...
Oh, yeah.
His, you know, I mean, it's not... Coolidge is not too far from Tucson, and there's a humanistic meetup in Tucson, and then there's the Humanist Society in Greater Phoenix, which has their own building and everything in Mesa. Maybe they could have sort of one of those branches.
Yeah.
Now, Bridget, you were part of a church as a child,
yeah,
right? And typically there's often sort of these big churches and then little satellites,
little
right?
Little satellites, yeah. It's totally doable. Yeah.
So you think, how would you set up a satellite humanistic community
in
Coolidge?
How would you have a humanistic prayer ahead of
We've had plenty of humanistic prayers.
Yeah, Robert Ray, a friend of the show, does quite a few of those. So, yeah, locally here. And yeah,
I think one of our past interviewees on Ask an Atheist, Amanda Novotny, formerly of Brookings, South Dakota, and now of Omaha, actually was able to invoke Dumbledore during during an all humanistic invocation.
I remember that. Yeah.
So all sorts of ways to be doing that. But so, Jeremy, you're just thinking that this is a roundabout way to keep what they wanted in the first place.
Yeah, without having to be worried about getting sued eventually and costing the city a lot of money. So,
well, let's see if this Missouri sheriff is up for getting sued. A Missouri sheriff told reporters that any deputies opposed to decals saying "In God We Trust" on police cars should just quit. Greene County Sheriff Jim Arnott was responding to a request from the Freedom From Religion Foundation to put decals saying "In Reason We Trust" on the cars as well. The FFRF states that they were contacted by a deputy who wasn't comfortable with the religious decal but is unwilling to come forward publicly. Arnott, when asked what he would do if the deputy complained, said they'd have to work somewhere else if they just didn't like it.
That's a great way to get rid of a good portion of your staff.
Even in Missouri, you think?
I don't know. I think as atheists, we have the freedom to complain when things don't go right, when we don't feel right. But when a person is raised in a religion, then they sort of have this compulsion or this, not necessarily compulsion, but this need to conform. And they're less likely to be vocal when it comes time to actually say something. So I think if they're just saying, you know, if you don't like it, quit, I think you're going to get a lot of people that are just like, all right, I'll just quit then, rather than try to raise a stink.
I semi-agree with this, because this is the same thing I would say to Kim Davis, is if you don't like it, quit. And even though it shouldn't be, In God We Trust is our national motto, putting it on a police car is kind of ironic, because if we trust in God so much, probably wouldn't need a police force.
So what do you think about this request to say, all right, we get In God We Trust, is it going to be stuck on your police cruiser, but how about you put another one next to it saying In Reason We Trust? Also, we have Robert Ray, as you mentioned, having founded the Original Motto Project, mm-hmm. Looking and hearkening back to sort of the accepted motto of E Pluribus Unum, out of many one, and providing stickers to different municipalities and police forces and county sheriffs to put those on vehicles as well. What do you feel about not removing the In God We Trust, but putting one next to it that says In Reason We Trust or E Pluribus Unum?
I think E Pluribus Unum has a better fighting chance of getting on there than In Reason We Trust.
Definitely, yeah. I would like to see the whole In God We Trust thing just go away, but, you know, it's not likely to happen. So having, like, the original motto is, as sort of like the backup or the secondary, not such a bad thing, but yeah.
It's what we ended up with as compromise in Pierce County here, where we do have In God We Trust, but then in addition to that, we have E Pluribus Unum. Mm-hmm. So are you saying that you think that we're going to start seeing that more and more on sheriff's cars and deputies and municipal halls?
I mean,
why do we need either one?
Right? And like, what happened to
police officers? They're not.
What happened to just like protect and serve? Mm-hmm. Like, let's.
Well, I have an answer for you, actually. Many of these sheriffs actually say we need this In God We Trust because at this time, we need something that'll bring people together in terms of the trust of the police force and unifying the public's perception of the police force in light of all the bad press that we've been getting.
How about body cameras then instead of a slogan? And an independent company keeping that footage for us.
Or how about, you know, something that's not divisive, like, you know, invoking a god that not everybody believes in. Like, that's not a unifying thing. If you want to be unifying, use something that everybody can agree with.
Like a unicorn running across a rainbow.
Sure.
That's too much promotion of LGBT pride,
right?
Jeremy. Don't you know that?
You can't have rainbows.
So here's the thing, though. In God We Trust was originally, you know, passed in and said, yeah, we're okay with the motto because it just represents ceremonial deism. Do you think at this point that there's anything ceremonially deistic about this, or do you think that it's really just about a Christian God?
It's really just about a Christian God. That's
I agree.
Yeah, that's I mean, yeah, no, it's just ceremonial, or it's not ceremonial. It is purely Christian, like, because you couldn't say In Allah We Trust in place of that. You couldn't say In Odin We Trust in place of that. People would freak out.
That was one of our favorite episodes that came out of this Pierce County thing, where some of our elected officials actually produced sort of a troll amendment, a joke amendment, saying, well, instead of just saying In God We Trust, let's have In God and then 15 other different names of gods, and really speaking to the folks that say, well, In God We Trust shouldn't be offensive. It could mean anything. It could mean whatever you want it to be. So is there something?
Well, then it means nothing to get rid of it entirely.
Exactly.
Is there something that you would put in blank we trust, Bridget?
You just totally put me on the spot. In otters we trust?
In otters. Oh,
in
sea otters. Jeremy?
Sea otters, yeah.
Usually the third Reddit comments thread on any given article.
Can we upvote and downvote on a daily mm-hmm. basis so the thing in the blank will change from day to day? Yeah, I'm not sure about that. What we trust in. How about just a good police force at that point? This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC. Call us at 844-SKEPTIC. We'll be back with some comments about how the Catholic Church is all up in our health care.
All up in our something.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the third Thursday meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
48 hours. 24 hours. 10 minutes to go.
The motorcade appears to have stopped, and yes, it appears as though the governor is getting out now. It's hard to see. My God, the rain is coming down in sheets. I've never seen anything like this. There must be tens of thousands of people out here right now. The streets are shut down. Okay, it appears the governor is making his way toward the convention center. No one knows what he's going to say. The crowd is pushing forward through the storm. The Secret Service is struggling to hold them back. A wave of people are rushing toward the candidate. My God.
Zero. For your consideration, we present Convention and its subject, the nominee. ANNEXRadio.com. Now on iTunes and Stitcher.
Billy! Billy! I am the Queen of England. You must give me your lunch money.
Why?
Because it will explode.
I don't know.
I'm the Queen of England. I know things.
Well, that makes sense. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because an authority says it doesn't make it true. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I'm melting!
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back to Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC. Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey. My name is Becky Friedman, and today we come back with Bridget Lombardo and Jeremy Whitman. How are you guys?
Good.
So we had the Pope visit our country, our great country in our hemisphere, for the past week, but there's something else having to do with Catholicism that... thought maybe we should be getting out there, and that is, hey, you know, you walk into a hospital, right? And you expect some kind of standard of care, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And Jeremy, as you said, if you walk into something called Saint something or Mercy something...
If it's named after a dead person who wasn't an intellectual...
Right, so...
You might be getting a different standard of care than every other hospital in the United States, because apparently these guys don't have to play by the same rules everyone else does if the Catholic Church owns the hospital. Is that correct? I did not know any of this until this morning.
Yeah. So something really interesting is that Catholic hospitals and Catholic healthcare systems, and that's people, doctors' offices that are part of the Catholic healthcare networks, are governed not by a professional organization of OBGYNs or internists or surgeons, but rather by the ethical and religious directives. And Bridget, have you heard of this ethical and religious directives document?
I have, yeah, sort of briefly, but it was it sort of came up when my niece was born at St. Joseph's just next door. And yeah, I was reading through this going, well, what if something goes wrong?
So there's certain things that the Ethical and Religious Directives, which was written by the U.S. Conference of Bishops, actually forbids in any of their healthcare system, in any of their hospitals, and that is contraception. So absolutely no contraception, vasectomies, tubal ligations, and those are ways to sterilize you reproductively, medical treatments derived from embryonic stem cells. That's not something that they actually deliver at all. In vitro fertilization, or sort of reproductive assistance that helps someone conceive, even when they're not not trying to sterilize someone. Abortion under any circumstances.
Any circumstances,
even in the case of an extrauterine or ectopic pregnancy, and that's when you have an embryo that will implant in a fallopian tube or somewhere other than the uterus, which can be, in most cases, deadly to a woman. So these ethical and religious directives are not written by doctors. Again, they're written by
people who believe in magic and make it a fundamental part of their belief system.
They're written by a U.S. Conference of Bishops.
Mm-hmm. Men.
Yes, all men.
Dudes who
flamboyantly dressed men.
Yes. Who have never had sex.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Right. So here's one that's actually really kind of scary. It's Directive 28, and it says, quote, "The free and informed healthcare decision of the patient or of the patient's surrogate is to be followed so long as it does not contradict Catholic principles."
Does that mean you cannot inform your patient of the best thing for them if it goes against this document
that almost
no one knows exists?
That's exactly what it means. It means that anyone at a Catholic hospital cannot even be informed that in Washington State, death with dignity options even exist. So yes. That's if you are suffering from a chronic disease and you can avail yourself of the guaranteed rights by the state to determine the end of your life and how that goes. Catholic hospitals aren't even allowed to give you any information about that.
No. That's terrifying.
So you would think when you walk into a hospital that you would be getting the standard of care, right?
Right.
It seems, doesn't the medical industry is very stringently controlled by law? Doesn't it seem like that they would have to tell you the exact same thing that you would hear at a secular hospital?
Yeah. Well, you would think. There was actually an ACLU suit filed locally in Michigan that was dismissed this July. And it was dismissed. It's now being appealed. But the judge dismissed the case of a woman who didn't receive treatment during a miscarriage. This is someone who's experiencing a miscarriage, goes to a hospital, and they say, "I'm so sorry for your loss. Go home and you know, you can see your regular doctor. I'm so sorry that you're having this miscarriage." But she didn't receive any treatment. And sometimes when you're undergoing a miscarriage, depending on where you are in your pregnancy, it can be very, dramatic and difficult. You can be in pain. You can experience complications like hemorrhage or infection. Mm-hmm. And this woman didn't receive any care, and she didn't know that there was other care to have been received.
And was not informed of that.
No, wasn't informed of it. And the Michigan court system basically dismissed this for lack of evidence, saying that the Michigan courts have no jurisdiction over the ERD, that document, right? Ethical and Religious Directives. And here's the one that's really chilling, and quote, that it's improper for courts to interfere in religious doctrinal decisions, and that hearing the suit would, quote, impermissibly intrude.
Oh, he didn't even hear the suit?
No, he dismissed it for lack of evidence, but he said it would impermissibly intrude upon ecclesiastical matters.
Yeah.
So, what's impermissible about this?
I think it's impermissible that they did not inform their patient of all the proper options for care.
Yeah. But the fact that this judge wouldn't even hear it, wouldn't even consider it, saying that he's like, "I'm not going to step in religious territory. This is, you know, beyond me. Like, no, dude, actually, the law was broken. You need to follow up with this. Like,
so this is saying that Michigan locally doesn't have anything to do with this, and we can't interfere in mm-hmm. church matters. You would think that this is no longer a church matter, but a matter of public
health.
This
is a medical matter, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually have what the Catholic Church's response to the suit, maybe the appeal, was that they're claiming that it's a contorted attempt to deprive the defendants, which would be the Catholic Church, of their constitutionally protected rights to religious freedom, which they apparently believe extends into the brains and genitalia of the patients that visit their hospitals. Which, no, religious freedom is protected, but it stops at the end of your skin.
My question is, how do doctors deal with this? I mean, that when they get when they become doctors, they take an oath. And this sort of goes against that when they say, you know, first do no harm. This is doing harm. How do they get through that? How do they get over that?
I would love to hear from doctors that do practice within a Catholic healthcare system. And oftentimes with our mergers, you don't know until, you know, you can start working at a particular clinic and then all of a sudden you'll have been taken over by a Catholic healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 9 hospital beds in the U.S. right now is at a facility governed by the ethical and religious directives. 1 in 9 hospital beds.
1 in 9.
Yeah. In some places, you have to drive 200 miles to go to a hospital bed that's not a Catholic hospital.
And I'm sure that's much worse in countries that are not American.
This is only America, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, we're Catholic. Hospitals are the primary care for the entire country, which I assume is the case in parts of South America and Africa and India and places like that.
I would imagine so, too. Yeah. And here,
where people can't find this information oftentimes on the internet with the information they're being denied from their healthcare providers.
But could you imagine going into a hospital and having to search up on the internet whether your ectopic pregnancy does actually require a complete removal of your fallopian tube or whether there's just one pill that they can give you to end your ectopic pregnancy? I mean, that's what women are facing right now.
No, Becky, I can't imagine that scenario very well at all. I've gone down some rabbit holes on WebMD, but that's not one of them.
So here's the thing, that it's not just a women's issue either.
No.
When we're looking at end-of-life procedures, things like that, the ethical and religious directives have, as part of their thing, the beauty of suffering. And so in terms of whether you're permitted to have...
Excuse me?
Adequate pain management and things like that. It's not just a women's issue. Here's the other thing. 10 out of the 25 of the country's largest hospital systems are Catholic. That's 10 out of 25.
That's almost 50%.
So it's pretty scary right now. But hey, there's some cool things that are happening right now. American Atheists, the advocacy group, has announced a bill that they want passed that would require healthcare providers to disclose procedures they refuse to do on religious grounds. The bill would not force care providers to perform any procedures they object to, but only to inform patients that such procedures are available at other hospitals. Amanda Knieve, National Legal and Public Policy Director for American Atheists, said that the bill is about disclosure, not forcing religious providers to do anything they don't want to, and more than 17% of U.S. hospitals are religiously based. So American Atheists is actually pushing for this, like you said, Jeremy, just to be informed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But at the same time, like, if with that information, what are your options after that? Like, oh, I'm, you know, miscarrying and now I have to drive 250 miles to a hospital where I can actually get these services. Like, that's still not okay to me. No, if you are at a hospital, you should get care for whatever need you have. This is still unacceptable.
There's the Emergency Care Act. The Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act that actually requires doctors and hospitals to provide treatment of conditions of women who are pregnant and in labor. And it would seem that these kinds of things violate that particular act. In terms of the doctors, what you're bringing it back to, you can imagine that there are some doctors that aren't abiding by the Catholic faith, right, personally.
Right.
But the ethical and religious directives actually say you can be dismissed from your position if you violate these particular directives.
Exactly. Like, can you imagine EMTs arriving on a scene, you know, in an emergency situation and then having to make that decision, do I save this life or... do I actually follow? Like, I can't even wrap my head around how those individuals deal with that on a daily basis. And the fact that the Catholic Church is so unrelenting in all of these things, like dismissing them from their positions, probably not giving references if people do want to leave. Like, how do you do that?
Well, here's the thing about unrelenting versus non-relenting, because it doesn't seem to be completely consistent. So there's a Catholic hospital in California that has relented in allowing a pregnant woman, Rachel Miller, to get a tubal ligation after her C-section. Remember, tubal ligation is one of those things that's not allowed. Mercy Medical Center originally refused to do the procedure because of the religious opposition to sterilization, but the hospital agreed to do the surgery after the American Civil Liberties Union threatened to sue on grounds of sex-based discrimination. Miller would have had to travel 160 miles to undergo the procedure at a hospital for which she is covered under insurance. Dignity Health, the network to which Mercy Medical Center belongs, is not changing its overall policies that prohibit sterilization, in vitro fertilization, and abortive care.
So you have to threaten to sue to get basic medical care.
Well, you need somebody like the ACLU to threaten to sue.
Right.
You need some pretty big flexing of muscles there to get that one done in this one particular instance. I don't think they should be allowed to provide different care.
No.
I think that they should have to do what's generally accepted to be the medically correct thing to do in that situation, or at least inform their patient of it. And then chopper them the 200 miles. If you're really, I mean, holy cow. 200 miles is a long way to go for a critical operation.
Like, I having been with friends who have gone through miscarriages, like, the idea that you know, maybe if they don't have the support, that they would then have to drive themselves 160, 250 miles, like, no, that is unacceptable to me.
Well,
I'm sorry.
As Jeremy said, chopper them through.
Well, if they're willing to do that, but would they be willing to do that? I don't know.
I'm not sure. So there's one more, actually, that the ACLU is involved in, and they're suing the entire healthcare system for their abortive stance. They filed a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit this time in Michigan this week against Trinity Health, a hospital network operating in 21 states. The complaint, on behalf of its members, alleges that Trinity hospitals have refused appropriate medical care to women suffering pregnancy complications, including miscarriages. All Trinity hospitals are governed by the ethical and religious directives, that document derived by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and failure to provide therapeutic abortive care in cases of membrane rupture can result in intense pain, infection, loss of fertility, hemorrhage, and even death. So here we have an actual suit that's being brought.
Yeah, and we will be hearing about this for quite some time, I believe, because this is going to have ramifications to fundamentalist Christians and every woman in the country.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a pretty big battle, I would guess. This is the lawsuit we need, I think, above the other information lawsuit.
Yeah.
This is, you assume as an American that all hospitals are, if not equal, at least playing by the same rule book.
Mm-hmm.
And to not be informed of that and then find out that a group of people who believe something incredibly different than even, you know, than any other social group in the world believes are mandating healthcare is, especially women's healthcare,
mm-hmm.
a group of celibate men.
Can we put air amazing. Quotes over that celibate?
So we did actually see this case of, you know, providing an abortion for an incomplete miscarriage. We actually saw this case in Ireland, where a woman was miscarrying and they would not perform a therapeutic abortion until there was no trace of fetal heartbeat. In the meantime, you can die from septic. And she mm-hmm. did. She died from septic shock because she became septic. She had infection. She was in intense pain for, you know, several tens of hours and perished. Because, like you said, Jeremy, in other countries that where the Catholic Church has even a tighter grip on the healthcare system, they refused. And Ireland is going through these kinds of bills as well to try and permit this at a higher rate to basically allow actual medical care that is in line with the standard of care.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have these problems as long as you let people apply scripture to things that scripture can in no way speak
right.
to authoritatively. The Catholic Church said lots of debates about what happens to a fetus when it dies. Initially, it was going to go to limbo, which is neither heaven nor hell.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got those bishops together at some point in a thing called a conclave.
Right.
And called an audible. And now any fetus that dies goes directly to heaven, yet the church remains against abortion, despite it now seeming like the fast track program. But yeah.
So how did it get all of these? How did it get all of these babies that were in limbo then to heaven?
It's a difficult spell. The bishops are some of the higher level wizards in this institution. So you really, I mean, it is a hard one. You have to dress up a midget, and a lot of things have to happen. You have to roll a 100-sided die a lot of times
lot of
to
times.
Pass that spell. It's got to be better than 80.
Yeah, I had this conversation with a friend of mine who is Catholic. And yeah, it just got really crazy. And she's like, I don't understand this. And she left the church eventually because the whole getting rid of limbo thing.
Because they got rid of limbo?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She didn't understand how they could have gotten rid of it.
Well, they can't.
Yeah.
Because it's not there.
So we think that we can support at least the ACLU and see what comes out in these particular suits, and then definitely in the American Atheist bill at a base minimum to inform patients that there are these particular religious directives that are blocking your access to medical care.
Now, that's a bit alarming, too, because that's going to be the fine print on the disclosure you sign on your way into the hospital.
This is Ask an Atheist, 844-SKEPTIC. When we come back, we'll talk about something a little bit lighter.
Hey, podcast listeners.
Did you know that Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey is a radio show?
Radio waves and everything.
If you know of a radio station that could benefit from Ask an Atheist in your area, let us know.
And don't forget to let the station know you'd love to hear us.
So to help us humanize atheists in mass media, email us at stations@askanatheist.tv.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Casey Doran, and we want to ask you an important question.
Are you sick and tired of other panel discussion shows wasting your time droning on and on about foreign policy, economics, and human rights?
Or do you want to hear conversations about things that actually matter?
We host a podcast called Radio Versus the Martians. Every month we gather a panel of our nation's finest minds and plunge a rusty prison shank into the heart of tough questions that have an impact on the lives of real people like you.
Like, are drivers required to pull over for the Ghostbusters?
Is United Federation of Planets actually an oppressive dictatorship run by guidance counselors?
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger secretly a genius?
And are we being mean when we laugh at movies that are so bad they're good?
So write your congressman and let them know that Radio Versus the Martians is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on RadioVersusTheMartians.com.
If you are a humanist, atheist, or freethinker from Everett, Washington to the Canadian border, Humanists of North Puget Sound welcomes you. Your freethought neighbors to the north have been promoting secular ideas for over 20 years. They're humanists with a rational worldview informed by science, inspired by art, and motivated by compassion. Join up for monthly conversation, camaraderie, and activism. Humanists of North Puget Sound. Visit humanistsnps.org. Back to Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey, 844-SKEPTIC. This is Becky. Back with me is Bridget and Jeremy. And on a little bit lighter note, we have some news about Kim Davis.
Yay, oh, Kim Davis!
I hope she's never left us.
So the Liberty Council has admitted that they were wrong about a photo they claimed was a prayer rally for Kim Davis.
Wrong. They were lying.
The photo, which was shown when Kim Davis was accepting an award at the Value Voters Summit, showed a large group of people gathered in a stadium. Davis's attorney claimed it was a prayer rally in Peru held in Davis's honor. Numerous people on social media researched the picture and found it was actually a prayer rally called, quote, Jesus Loves You and Changes You, which was...
Never let someone who wants to change you love you.
This was held over 5 days in 2014. The Liberty Council has issued an apology on their website, calling it an honest mistake.
Well, with a name like the Liberty Council, how could they be wrong? This is at the Value Voters Summit, which I don't think they ever expected this to get out, because the Value Voters Summit is a collection of the farthest right-wing people in the country who are not currently in prison, lying to each other in a manner that the other far right-wing people in the audience will enjoy. So I'm not surprised that they had this lie on their stage. I just don't think they expected the general public to get a hold of it. And then with, what, two or three clicks of a mouse, if you have Tiny Eye, or know where Tiny Eye is, find out that this picture is not the picture they said it was.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, like when you don't expect it to get out, you can get away with a whole lot more. But with the advent of the internet and the fact that this woman is being, you know, followed so thoroughly,
and
of course it's going to get out.
They're also putting all their speeches from the Value Voters Summit on the internet, and it's being watched by folks who are suspicious of these particular groups.
Yes.
Now, do we think that the Liberty Council is what prompted her move from the Democratic Party to the Republican Party? Because I can't imagine a Democrat, a registered Democrat, showing up at the Value Voter Summit.
I think the complete lack, I believe her on this one thing, where she said that the lack of support from the Democrats during her time in jail was alarming to her, and she's ideologically a Republican anyway.
Right. I was surprised to hear that she was a Democrat to begin with.
Sort of like a family legacy thing that she was a Democrat,
yeah,
and stayed a Democrat and got a lot of Republican support to get the office she had, and no, the timing was right.
Yeah.
And it was a good PR move last week or so when she switched parties.
Yeah.
Kim Davis is a flip-flopper.
Oh, no. We don't like flip-floppers.
We don't like people who change their minds.
My question is, like, why would people in Peru care? Why would they make, like, they made up this lie that, oh, it's the people in Peru are supporting Kim Davis. Why would they care about some, like, Kentucky county clerk in the United States?
I'm upset that I have to care about, right? A Kentucky county clerk in the United States, but I don't know. I don't know what goes on in Peru. Honestly, yeah. Don't. Maybe they just have a really weird county clerk fetish,
yeah,
politically. But this is an insane lie to tell,
right?
On top of it just being transparent. It's the lie of a sociopath. I'll say it.
Yeah.
And what about Jesus Loves You and Changes You? Is that, I want to know, were there posters there that said Jesus Loves You,
yeah,
and
there
Changes
were.
You? Is there?
There were identifiable posters, but the people who put this lie together probably can't read or speak Spanish.
Just say, Jesús te ama y te va a cambiar, or like, what does it say? Is this, and are they trying to link this to Kim Davis? Are they trying to think that she inspired people before the fact and back in 2014?
Kim Davis, I believe, is being groomed with or without her knowledge to be a speaker, a national speaker for these sorts of issues.
Can it just go away now? Like, I just want the whole thing to go away.
You know, it seems like that's what the Vatican is saying at this point, too.
Yeah.
Now, I have not been following this Pope Kim Davis meeting really very much at all, because it seemed to be...
There wasn't much to follow.
Yeah.
As you said, flip-flopping, it went back and forth. Did they meet? Didn't they meet? I don't know. It was like an episode of Jerry Springer or Geraldo or something. I don't really care whether they met or not. I don't know, but apparently the Vatican is doing some backpedaling on this and sort of wishing, can't it all just go away?
So initially,
yes,
Kim Davis claimed that she had a private audience with the Pope, to which the Vatican spokesperson said, I won't deny that took
comment.
Place,
yeah,
but I have nothing to add.
Yes.
And was probably sweating and running back to his office to, how are we going to, because now they are confirming.
They did confirm.
Kim Davis met with the Pope.
Yeah, for less than 15 minutes. She said that he told her to stay strong and that she hugged him. And now they're saying, well, yes, they did meet, but this was no way in like a show of support. It was just like, he just met with a bunch of people, and it just happened to be her.
Well, it, apart from...
What?
Yeah.
Is there a special line? Like,
yeah.
Okay, 15 randos can meet with the Pope.
Right.
I don't think that was going on. That's an amazing coincidence.
Right, yeah.
But you have apparently, 14 people or 15 people can have random audience with the Pope, right? It shouldn't be super surprising, since in his congressional address, which I don't know if you guys suffered through it, but it was the most soporific speech that I've ever listened to, ever. I mean, sometimes people listen to podcasts or music or talk radio on two times, two times the speed. You would have to listen to this on five times speed to get it to be something that would be, mirroring a reasonable pace of speech. But he did say,
well, he was speaking in English, wasn't he?
He was. He was speaking in English, which is not his forte.
Did he make any mistakes? He couldn't have. The Pope's infallible.
Right.
Nice one. But he did say during his speeches, his various ones in Philadelphia and to Congress, that he was not in favor of people having to violate their own religious convictions in order to issue marriage licenses or something to that effect. I mean, it was very generally speaking, and sort of took people aback, of saying, what? Well, how could the Pope think that? I thought that he said, judge not anyone. Forgetting, apparently, that the entire Vatican rests its case on homosexuality as a sin. I mean,
yeah,
they had a major high-level bishop come out, or archbishop come out in a very public way, and guy was immediately fired. I mean,
yeah,
post-haste, nope, done with your role.
Apparently now they're also trying to fire the person who set up this meeting with Kim Davis, because the Pope is trying to deny that he knew anything about her position. And,
oh, so the Pope doesn't read the news?
Yeah,
100,000 people in Peru apparently knew about this, but not the Pope?
Yeah, apparently not. Now that guy is in some hot water for setting this up without telling the Pope ahead of time. Yeah.
I want to know who the Pope's Dick Cheney is. I want to know who the Pope's sort of like man behind the curtain is that does all
I
of this.
I thought that the Pope was God's Dick Cheney.
True, true. Or who's the Pope's Don Rumsfeld? Like, who's doing all of this behind the scenes? No, he didn't actually mean that. No, yeah. This is what he really meant.
Well, whoever he fires in the manner that Don Rumsfeld got fired, that will be your answer.
Yeah, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about how a gay mom in Italy had sent the Pope a storybook that she had written, a children's book about families and different family structures and family units, saying, hey, you know, I like being Catholic, I like living in Italy, but I... don't like how I've been treated by some people, me and my wife and our child, or, you know, we're a good family just as anyone else. And the Pope sent her the apostle's blessing, you know, and then sort of backtracked again and saying, oh, we weren't meaning it as a measure of support. Is he doing the same thing here to Kim Davis? We
a
weren't
blessing,
meaning
not as a measure of support. So what is a blessing then?
Yeah. Apparently it's a punch in the arm from your football coach that says, go get them, boys. Yay, yeah. Stay strong.
Yeah.
Ooh, coach football, Coach Francis? Yeah. Is that who we're seeing here?
Well, I mean, he's done that so many times when, like, he said something about atheists being able to go to heaven as long as they do good things.
No, and that was apocryphal. I checked on that one.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Don't trust things that are too good to be true
but
on Facebook.
But it made a really good shiny meme.
Yeah.
Apocryphal.
Apocryphal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he did not say that one.
He didn't?
No.
Oh. That. Got duped.
Yep.
He also didn't say that you could meet your childhood domestic animals in heaven who had died. That apparently was Benedict quoting a Pope from the 50s saying something to that effect. So that was another one. You know, there's...
So wait, can you or can't you meet your pets?
Yeah, there was something that, you know, again, a nice little shiny Facebook meme saying, look how amazing and great this Pope Francis is compared to the last one.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, look, he says that you can meet your doggies in heaven and all dogs really do go to heaven and you can meet your kitties when they, you know, because most kids grow up.
That would be amazing if the Pope ended his speech to Congress with, and by the way, all dogs go to
all
heaven.
All dogs go to heaven.
I said it. Now it's true.
Well, no, because then you have your Don Rumsfeld go and backpedal for you and say, no, I didn't really mean that.
I didn't say that. Didn't
so,
actually.
So we have sort of a two-pronged effect here. We have people that really want to envision a religious world leader as saying good things like, I judge not, who am I to judge? And as long as you do good deeds, everyone is fine and everyone can go to heaven. And then you have an actual Pope sort of putting his foot in his mouth and saying, of course I'll meet with Kim Davis and kiss this baby and send a nice blessing to this mom who sends me a book and, you know, all those kinds of things.
Well, everyone's nice to this Pope because he's not as arcane as the last Pope.
Yeah.
But he's about equal to a fairly progressive 98-year-old person from Georgia or something in his more... I mean, he's not a wonderful... revolutionary thinker in terms of things. He's just like, oh, let's just bring the church a little bit closer in with modern morality, but we'll keep the homophobia.
Yeah.
We'll keep that, and we'll keep as much control over women's bodies as we can, even in America where we have to use the health system to do it.
Or for me, like, I've been in conversations online with friends that are in support of the Pope, and I'm like, yeah, he's not as bad as the last one, but he still hasn't done anything about the pedophile priests or anything like that. Like, once he starts doing something, then maybe I'll be able to support him, but until then,
well, he's taken some steps, and again, this is not something, I mean, this is he's doing the right moral thing in certain situations, and people are acting like we should give him a Nobel Peace Prize for just saying basic morality things.
Yeah.
And he did meet with some of the victims while he was here of the sexual molestation things, and I think they've changed some of the way they stopped allegedly playing the three-card Monty international game of hide the child molester and they've come down fairly hard on that, but that is not that doesn't make you a great human being to oppose child molestation.
Well, and considering that those priests are still out there, they're still working, they're still working with children, they are not in jail, they are not behind bars, therefore,
well,
as far as I'm concerned, he hasn't done anything.
The thing he should do, if you want to be just in my eyes on that, is as soon as these people are discovered or allegations are leveled, they are turned over to the authorities, which
exactly.
I don't think we're going to see the church do in my lifetime.
No.
is they want to play it internally.
Absolutely.
No, to set up your own special tribunal in system and completely disregard the fact that, yes.
It's the opposite of the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, you may have your own city-state in Italy, but hey, all of your members are in real countries that have real laws of the land in which they are. So to have, as you said, to have people still working with children just because our statute of limitations is up, you know, if there's another allegation that's modern, that's within the statute of limitations, exactly as you said, have it be investigated by authorities. And we've seen that in too few cases. We've seen it in too few cases. I mean, and in the cases that we have seen it, we see like Boston's Father Gagin that was then put into general population and perished at the hand of other prisoners. Which, you know, some people say was a moral outcome, you know, that the church couldn't even do with the rest of, you know, all of the other pedophile priests and things like that.
And I think the takeaway from this for me is, as an atheist, am I happy that this pope isn't crazy like the last one? Yes.
Yes.
Is he progressive enough to exist in modern society and have access to about 2 billion minds? No, I'm not happy with where he's at. Maybe he should say something remarkable, like stop doing trade with China when he gets an audience with our Congress for why. I don't know. That shouldn't have happened.
Or perhaps, hey, it's okay for all of Africa to use condoms and all of India to use condoms because they will drastically prevent and drop the HIV and hepatitis infection rates. And fertility will go down, so we won't have so many. I mean,
then you'd have to contradict the earlier statement that condoms cause AIDS.
Right. Yes.
Brought to you by the Catholic Church. The less you know. Rainbow.
So, speaking of rainbows, we have some nice things that have nothing to do with the Catholic Church and nothing to do with Kim Davis.
Yay!
And that is some of our individual municipalities will pass amazing ordinances. So the Anchorage, Alaska Assembly passed an ordinance prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The bill, which was passed by a vote of 9-2, is the first law of its kind in the state of Alaska. The law guarantees protection for LGBT people against discrimination in housing, employment, and public accommodations, but includes exemptions for religious and ministerial groups. Opponents of the law plan to organize a referendum to repeal the ordinance.
Oh, and I got an idea who might spearhead such a movement there.
No, I told you this had nothing to do with Kim Davis.
No. Sarah Palin.
Oh, no.
The original Kim Davis. The prequel to Bachman.
The prequel.
So here's the thing. If we did have a national ordinance that says, hey, people are protected from discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender presentation, that's, hey, you might identify as a woman, but you are mistaken for a man, or you are deemed to look too mannish, and so you aren't
allowed.
So we're
going to pay you 25 cents more on the dollar?
Oh, man, if that kind of reverse discrimination works.
Oh.
Maybe that's the finishing of the loop of discrimination. No, if we had that embedded into our federal act, if we had protected suspect classes that included LGBT folks, then we wouldn't need individual towns to pass these little things piecemeal.
But that's how it's going to start, though.
Yeah.
It's going to become a social normative that you do not discriminate against people for being homosexuals or for how they view themselves.
Yeah, that's how we saw it with the marriage thing. That's how we saw it with so many other things. So it sort of makes sense that you know, step by step, we'll see these counties and these states making these decisions. And then eventually the federal government will catch on. Eventually.
And I'm just looking at, you know, maybe it will be Sarah Palin that will spearhead that repeal of the ordinance. But we did have people like the Duggars. That spearheaded sort of the repeals or please don't pass these resolutions in our towns. That doing robocalls saying it would be dangerous to my child if we actually didn't discriminate against people.
Josh Duggar does not get to tell me what's dangerous to his child. I think I know what's dangerous to Josh Duggar's child. And its name is Josh Duggar.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we've got a really interesting email from listener Alice from the internet, and she says, hey, I'm secretly an atheist in a family full of Muslims, and Muslims are panicking the hell out of their heads because all the signs that have been said by the Prophet Muhammad and within the Quran are coming true in our modern life. How can an old book and a prophet know what's going to happen in the future? I just want to live my life without any fear or thinking that Judgment Day is true. How can it not be true when all the signs have appeared that we are at our end time? I just want to live my life.
Oh, boy. This is a good example of the damage you can do to a human being.
Absolutely.
This is sounds like an adult to me. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's written at an adult level. Someone who has to secretly be a secular human being and is constantly worrying about the end of the world.
Yeah.
Because of a book written how long ago? Long time ago.
1500 years plus? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in terms of all of those signs coming true in our modern times, some of them, Jeremy, you looked up a bunch of them. Some of them just are things that happen. And if we start seeing them happening more and more in our life, we might say, oh, they're happening more, and we might be more attuned to them. So
well, here's
with
a
our
tip
minds.
For if you're going to make a prediction about an apocalypse, I think it's well advised never throw a date on it.
Right.
Unless you're trying to sell a book that's title ends in the words 2012 or something like that, you do not want to throw a date on it, because if you get too specific, it's going to come and go and you're going to lose all credibility and your church will fracture into several more churches or people will leave it or things like that. So any apocalyptic predictions you have in most religions are going to be written in sort of the same way that a horoscope is written in your daily newspaper, and that anyone could read it and it would probably apply to them.
Right.
If you're an Aries and you believe in astrology, go ahead and read Virgo for a month and see if that doesn't nail it. It's the same sort of general wishy-washiness of the predictions. But not knowing anything about the Muslim apocalypse, which is probably a bad turn of a phrase on my part, but the apocalypse forecasted in the Quran and the Hadith, some of these are like that. One of them, spreading of killing. It's hard to quantify that.
So you could say like, oh, I've seen so many more increases in school shootings. Clearly, mm-hmm. that's a sign of spreading of killing. The Muslim apocalypse is upon us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Or you know, increase in earthquakes or...
Yeah, they have a lot of the boilerplate, what I would call boilerplate predictions, like increases in earthquakes, lots more lightning strikes, loss of honesty and authority. Just things like that. And then some of them are, I would say, incredibly weird and specific. And it might be something lost in translation with the Wikipedia article we found on this one. But one of them is just, wild animals communicate with humans and a man speaks to his whip or shoe. Why those two things, I do not know. And his thigh will tell him about what happened to his family after he left.
So, again, something might be lost in translation in the Hadith, but we don't have our animal naturalist on hand here, but we do see that there is, anthropological study going on, and we can see apes learning sign language. You, as an ASL interpreter, have studied different chimp and ape communication.
Yes, that's true, but I don't think that it's, a sign of the end time.
Okay.
I think it has more to do with
wild animals will communicate with humans.
Yeah.
So like a jaguar will show up and try and sell you Amway or something.
That could be the
not domesticated animal.
Yeah.
So we have things like Jews fighting Muslims. That's one of those boilerplate ones. It's like you could see that any time and take that as a sign of the end times. But the thing is, that's probably been happening for 2,000 years, and it's probably going to keep happening. I like the, you were looking at all the sexual signs of the end times. And Jeremy, you said it kind of reminded you of the New York City Pride Parade.
Yeah, any sort of a freedom of sexual expression seems to be a big sign of the end of times.
People will fornicate in the streets like donkeys.
You could take this whole list, and this is an extensive list. There are, in the article we found, 47 minor signs, 5 other signs, links between the major and minor signs, 10 major signs, and then 10 more other signs. There's a lot.
There's
so
a
they
lot.
Basically covered, Spirograph will make a comeback.
So, Alice...
VCRs, no more VHS stores.
So, Alice, our advice to you is take a look at some of those things, and there are probably things that happen in your daily life anyway and will keep happening. Try not to be so scared.
My advice would be look at the origins of your holy text and realize that it is gobbledygook.
This has been Ask an Atheist with Sam Mulvey, Bridget Lombardo, Jeremy Whitman, myself, Becky Friedman. We thank you for joining us. You can send us an email at questions@askanatheist.tv, tweet us at AskAnAtheistWA, and give us a phone call, leave us a voicemail at 844-SKEPTIC. We will see you next week.